Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is John. When I'm not here, I do photography for a living. Before I was doing that, I was working in retail. I used to sell suits to guys who thought they were platinum in shoes. And we encountered some very interesting situations and interactions as different people, customers would come into our shop. And I could walk up to somebody and said, "Hello, how are you going today?" And they'd be like, "I'm just looking." And I'm like, "That's okay, I'm just asking how you're going. It's okay. You could be here for the air conditioning, that would be all right. I'm not being paid anymore whether you're here or not, so, you know, that's all right." It was interesting that this person, just by asking them, "Hello, how are you going?" that they got their claws up and that they were on the defensive so immediately, and you needed to sort of coax them back to a state of relaxed. Speaking of relaxed, boom, boom. We live in a society that is full of walls and full of burdens and expectations. And people are feeling that at the moment. I don't know whether, I wasn't too sure when Grant said, "Oh, this is going to be a youth event," what sort of version of youth we were going to be dealing with. Because that word carries around a lot of connotation. Is youth like a physical age? Is it a maturity thing? Is it whether you're educated or not, whether you hold down your own job, whether you have your own house? There are a lot of different expectations on people at the moment. And there are a lot of different messages that people are getting, and a lot of them are very conflicting messages that they're getting because of the world that we're currently in. Now, whether that's when you're in the workplace, when you're in the school place, when you're at home, there are different messages that are being spoken into people's lives, whether it's being treated like and having the claws up, or whether it's being welcomed and being accepted. But I think on the whole, a lot of people are encountering a lot more walls in our society at the moment. And I think you can see that when, like, if you want to go out and buy, if you want to go out to the library and you want to borrow a book, it's like, "Well, can we see your membership card?" You know, "Well, you don't have your card? Great, you better register for one. We need 3 points of ID here. We need to see where you live. We need to have your home number. And we need to find out, we probably need to have a credit card somewhere in there as well. If you want to sign up for a gym, you need to have, there are terms and conditions, usually a couple of pages long. And they have to lock you in for 24 months. Anyone have a mobile phone? How long do you need to be signed on for one of those contracts? And what happens if you go over that amount?" And then it's all of a sudden, "Great, money, we got to take that." And as far as the message is being spoken, people are hearing it left, right and center that we don't trust you. We're not too sure where you've come from. If we're going to let you in, there's going to be all these boxes that need to be ticked first before we accept you. And that creates a lot of oppression. People carry around this burden, and the picture that they have on screen, a lot of people feel like that at the moment, in this lower down position where there's, "Oh, I've got to be working, oh, I've got to be studying, oh, I've got to, you know, finance something." You know, the expectation that's being told to me as somebody who works in fashion, I'm 6'2" and built like a battle tank, and people that get told, "If you're a big guy, the only colors you can wear are black, white, grey and blue, and today is a blue day." As far as the message that gets spoken about attractiveness. You know, "Girls, you should have your hair long and it should be tied back and it should be twirled." No, it shouldn't be twirled. It should be put up. No, it should be put down. You know, all the ads that have, you know, the ladies, you know, laying across the beach and shaving legs, going, "Well, you got to lose the hair if you're going to look feminine. And guys, if you want to look masculine, you better not lose the hair." And my dad says, no, it's too late. No." But there are all these different titles, and there are all these different messages that are being spoken into our world at the moment, and it is making people defensive and is putting them into boxes. And that's what I wanted to talk about at the moment, because as far as going out of your way to edify or to pull someone up out of that, how do you set about doing that if you're in it? If you're feeling down there and you're feeling oppressed and you're not feeling valued and you are feeling like everyone has it in for you, how do you set about pulling someone out of that? It's a curious question. And I think that it's something that at all various points we need to sort of look at a little. People have all different sort of titles and measures to put on people, and people can be called tall or short, or fat or skinny, rich or poor, successful, unsuccessful, a winner, a loser. And God gives us a title as well. And I wanted to talk about one particular title that he gives us. He calls us his masterpiece. Out of all of creation, he made the heavens and the earth and the flowers and the fish and the birds and the animals. He made us, and he calls us, men, women, boys, girls, his masterpiece, which is a fairly big word. And, you know, if you ever go into an art gallery, I'm an artist, if you go into an art gallery and someone has made the masterpiece, if an artist has done a really good work on something, he or she will sign their name at the bottom of it or somewhere on it to show, this is mine, I'm proud of it. So, if we're called God's masterpiece, where's the signature? Whereabouts has God put his name on us? Can I just get everyone for a second, just to hold up your right hand. I'm sure everyone has a right hand. Shiloh, you're excused, you might be asleep. And if you could just turn it around your way, and hopefully you've got a little bit of light here, but take a little bit of time, you'll see these bumps and these ridges, and they're your fingerprints. Now, I'm sure that you might have heard this before, but no one else on the planet has your fingerprints. You can look all over the world at the moment, even if you're an identical twin, you would not have the same fingerprints as the other person next to you. And I think that that is part of God putting his signature on you and saying, you're an original, you're a one-off piece. And I think that there is a deeper meaning and a significance about having fingerprints, because it says something about your hands. It says that what you create with your hands is entirely unique. No one else could make something the same way you make something. No one else could reach out to someone the same way that you could reach out to them. No one can hold them the way that you hold them. Your hands are completely unique. If someone had flip-flops, I'd encourage you to kick them off. I won't take off my shoes because that's an act of mercy. But if you were to have a look at your feet, you would see that you also have footprints. This one says, I can't tell you what it says. Oh well, someone might have a shoe that says Nike, but you all have unique footprints. Same sort of thing. As far as being, you can look all over the planet. Some of you might have high arches and some of you might have toes that, you know, you'd rather not show. But as far as your footprint is concerned, I think that that shows something about God's signature as well. It says that you're on a unique journey, that no one is walking the path that you're walking on, and no one is leaving the same trail behind them that you're leaving. You know, people that are all into the whole, you know, make trade fair and living green and not leaving a carbon footprint, they've really touched on that a lot, that the things we are doing in our lives are leaving a mark behind us. That's pretty amazing. And maybe you don't often think about it, but I think that that speaks a message. I think it's a message of value. Take a time to have a look to the person next to you. Look at their eyes. Seriously, take the time. 5 seconds. Come on. 4, 3, 2. For those of you who have seen The Incredibles, you have Edna Mode go up to the security camera and, you know, get the retina scanned. And the reason that they, you know, Edna Mode and friend. And the reason that that happened is because your retina, the part of your eye that receives and interprets lights and colours, that's unique to you. There's no one else on the planet has the same retina as you. That means that what you see in this world is completely unique to you. And if you have your eyes open, God will show you some amazing things. This is why I'm a photographer, because I love seeing and I love capturing that so that someone else can see it. I remember a day when I went down to Tunstall Square and you got the pedestrian crossing there, and you had a lady pushing out. She had a little toddler in the front seat of her trolley. And I think I was the only person to see this, but a Mack truck was coming from the other direction and pulled to a halt, came to a complete halt. And you have this lady pushing out over the pedestrian crossing. And I see the toddler go from sitting like this to just sitting a little taller. And sizing up this big, massive machine is like, yeah, I'll take it on. Come on. I don't think anyone else got to see that, but I got to see it and I got to have a chuckle. We have moments like that, if you're open to it, all around you, where you get to be amazed by things that are unique and original and happening all around you that someone else might miss, or you might miss if you're not paying attention. Can everyone stick out their tongue and go, nah? you got someone down there that can. Can anyone curl their tongue? I can't curl my tongue. Can you curl your tongue? Can you come up and give us a demonstration, please? Come on, round of applause. We've got someone here who can curl their tongue. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, edifying. Here we go.
Thank you so much.
No, that's okay. Everyone, think sad thoughts for a second. Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you very much. You know that you have a unique tongue print? I bet you didn't know that. If you were to put ink on your tongue and then that piece of paper, if you were to print your tongue onto a piece of paper, gosh, that was slimy. If you were to print your tongue onto a piece of paper, you would have a unique tongue print. That means when someone says it tastes like chicken, you can say, no, it doesn't, because it tastes different to me as it does to you. Just didn't think about that one, did you? But as far as the significance behind that, as far as the uniqueness of the fact that you taste things differently to other people, I think that that has a deeper meaning. I think that that means is that this life is meant to be something savoured. I think that we have different encounters and experiences in our lives, and sometimes they're very sweet and sometimes they are bitter, and the things that we have tasted before or we've needed to partake in before may not necessarily make sense now, but later our taste buds mature a little and we start to appreciate those things better. I still don't like raw tomatoes. Mum's disappointed. But that's okay. I think that your tongue is a reminder that God has something unique in store for you and God has his signature on you. If all of you were to yell out, hello, John, all at the same time, 1, 2, 3.
Hello, John.
Oh, I'm feeling the love. That's wonderful. All of you have a unique voice. You, in your words and the way you say them could not be said the same way by someone else. If you were to have 5 people come up and sing happy birthday here, they would probably all be out of tune. But they would probably all sing it slightly differently. And where they would be singing from would be from a different place. And I think everyone here, young and old, or young at heart, or old at heart, should know that the words you speak have power. And I think particularly as far as this topic is concerned, what comes out of your mouth is something that you're accountable for. But I also think the deeper thing that God would have you know about your voice and the fact that it is entirely unique to you is that you were made to be heard. You deserve to be heard. I could keep going, and I'm going to, as far as, you know, your brain is entirely unique. All those different neurons and connectors and things that are going on in your brain, the thoughts that you have, the associations that you make, the fact that when some guy is in love over here, he wants to write a poem, or when this girl's in love, they want to write a song, and none of them, they won't sum it up the same way. They need to describe it in an entirely different style because their brains are entirely different. Creativity is a wonderful thing, and it's something that I really espouse and encourage, because I think that people should know that your brain is entirely unique and God would have you use that. Your heart, I'm not sure for those of you who know, but your heart creates a magnetic field. Your heartbeat is signatured. No one else on the planet has your heartbeat. When you are in a room, the magnetic field that creates around your heart is around about 4 meters. So you can walk into a room and, I mean, this is something in science that I'm not entirely too sure on, but as far as your heartbeat, like if you put a newborn baby next to their mum, they'll fall straight asleep because they're familiar to that heart. They're aware of it. And I think the significance of that is that God would have us be close to his heart. And even when you are in a place, you are changing the room that you are in. Some people, I know that I went through high school feeling invisible a lot. But by me being there, I am changing that place. Even if I don't say anything. And even if you guys don't say anything in certain situations, the fact that you are present is significant and important. You know, as far as, you know, that's not even to mention all the things about, you know, your dreams and your desires and your passions and your ambitions, the things that you love. You know, all of those things have been given to you and God's signature is all over you. And it says in Psalms 139, and I can't put it up on screen because I wasn't that organized. I didn't organize a PowerPoint, but my friend calls it like God's big hug. That chapter is God's big hug. If you haven't read it, I really encourage you to read it. It says, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All your works are marvelous, and I know that right well." It says, "We were knit together, stitch by stitch." Any of you seen like your grandma, like, or mum make a scarf? It is a long, arduous, long process. Arduous is a big word, wasn't it? But that God has taken time with you and effort with you, and He's put time and energy and care into you. I'm going to flip the page. All of you have been made unique. All of you have been made for greatness. All of you have this amazing, colorful journey that you are on. And all of you with Him will get to experience life in its absolute fullness. And I could finish it there and sort of go, well, now that we're all, you know, feeling thoroughly self-conscious, that could be the end of it. But there are still all these people out there that do feel boxed in, that do feel oppressed, that do have the claws up. And the opportunity that we have, knowing who we are and how valued we are, and that isn't based on anything we could do, anything we could wear, any course we could get, any mark that we could get, that our value is inherent and given to us by God. That gives us power to edify, to encourage people, to uplift them. And maybe that isn't doing something incredibly big, but it's knowing that God's love is bigger than our mess. If you let Him, He will do amazing things through you. It might just be offering a word of encouragement. It might be a timely hug. It might be making something for someone. It might be giving someone a friendly smile or offering a helping hand. It might just be looking them in the eye and saying hello. It might be hearing what they have to say and not saying anything back, but just listening. It might be sharing a meal with them. It might be just being there. But you have the ability to make a difference. And the world is made better and brighter because of where you are.